The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to Home Field Advantage, HFA. She is Teresa Autry with Expert Realty right there in Hoover. I always have to think HFA. I have to do that acronym thing. 294-4210, 294-4210. We're recording this show on Black Friday. This is the only show I'm recording today. I usually have about four or five podcasts almost every single day of the week. And everyone...
We work every day, so... Well, I do too.
Listen, I was available yesterday. I was like, if anybody wants to do something on Thursday, no one invited me to dinner, so I had a salami sandwich and a Choco Extreme from DQ.
I probably got a thousand invitations. I was good to go.
So I walked the dog I had a nice Thanksgiving. The kids were with their moms, and they're coming over later on tonight, so that's good. So before we get into it, you had something to happen with a potential home buyer, and we want to get into that. But before I do that, it is Black Friday. Today, more people will shop. 162 million people will shop today. I want to talk about homes for sale. On Black Friday, everything's for sale, right? But I mean, yeah. Cars are for sale. Airplanes are for sale. Expedia has trips for sale. Are houses ever for sale? Is there ever a good time to buy a home? And obviously you're talking about supply and demand, but everything else in life is for sale. Are homes for sale?
Yes, every day, all day. And I call this Bright Friday because I think we're supposed to be the light, you know. So when everybody else is in the dark, I want to be that beacon and nice. That source for the real estate industry. So, Ashley, there's a lot of huge deals going on today. It's the end of the year inventory for a lot of your new construction. I already got emails from different subdivisions saying, hey, we're going to offer this bonus or this incentive package or that incentive package. So I just want to let you guys know those deals are still out there. So if you're looking, let me know and I can hook you up with those deals. But yes, and sometimes people, maybe they've had a house a tinge longer than they expected, or maybe they got in a glitch where supply and demand, where maybe a deal didn't work out. So they're like giving a super, super good deal just to get it off their books. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's still some deals to be made, but there's also some deals to be lost. Yeah. I always say the best day to buy a house is today. Do you need it? Then you need to buy it.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, I moved into this rental I'm in on December 1st. And I just remember thinking to myself, I did not want to move over the holidays. I just wanted to get everything done so I could have Christmas. Is that what most people do? I mean, do you sell homes on December 23rd?
I think the ideal time is to move during the holidays because that's just an extra added layer. But this is what I say. Come up with a game plan. Be as organized as you possibly can. And I don't mean be OCD to the point where you're anal retentive and making everybody miserable. That's not OCD. That's control freak.
Yeah.
But I did say be organized, get a game plan together. You generally know a month or so in advance that you've got to move. So let's be realistic and let's just make sure we have, you know, things lined up. Like make sure you've got your approval, not your pre-qualification that you got off some .com site, but your actual approval lined up. If you're selling a home, you know, you've got that payoff handled and you've got your tax issues handled and you've got your current pay stubs and your current stuff to the mortgage people and you've got your end of the year stuff coming. And so you just want to make sure you've got your paperwork. Certainly leave that out because you're going to need that. But pack up all the stuff you're not going to need. You know, pack up those summer clothes. Pack up, you know, everything that you're not going to need the swimming tube. I mean, maybe you will if you're a polar bear, but maybe not. And, you know, just pack up all that stuff that you're going to be putting away for the season and, you know, make your house a minimal decorations. We did a show about that where you're doing minimal, where it can be a fast pack, you know, because people that do need to move are moving. And like you said, no one's ideal is like, oh yeah, let me plan to move Christmas Day. But at the same notion, I've seen people do it in worse situations. So be grateful that someone's bought your house and be grateful there's a house to buy.
There's a guy that lives four downs from me in Russet Woods here. And you know this area very well. It's got 57 inflatables. In his yard. I don't think he's moving anytime soon. There's no room.
My neighbor on the corner, she's got so many every day. We ride by and we just see the next one she's got. I mean, she's got a Santa on a John Deere, Santa on a surfboard. She's got a brown Santa. She's got a Santa coming. I mean, she's got different ones, but it's hilarious and we just love it. You know?
Teresa Autry, Expert Realty, right there in Hoover, 294-4210, 294-4210. She's the best. I've known her for 30 years when it comes to brokerage, mortgages, real estate, rental, whatever. She is the woman to call. She does a fantastic job. So you texted me right before the show. You said, I had an interesting story about a home buyer from yesterday. And it, of course, was Thanksgiving. And that's the one thing about real estate. I mean, I don't take the day off. You don't take the day off. Hopefully you can tell people, hey, listen, I'm not working today. I know you get vacation time and stuff like that. But if something opens on Thanksgiving, it opens on Thanksgiving. But what did you kind of have to share with somebody yesterday?
What was that word you just used? That word you said something.
Vacation.
What is that? Well, I had, and I hate to do this, guys. I love to give, as you know, I've got this bubbly personality. So I always love to give great news. That's part of my kind of under promise and over deliver. You know, when I can tell you, hey, guess what? You're going to net more than you expected, mm-hmm. and to the tune of thousands, or you're going to pay less than you expected to the tune of a comma. You know, those are good things. But when you have to send an email and say, oh, happy Thanksgiving. However, I was supposed to be showing first thing bright and early this 27 degree morning, right? And I was all prepared. You know, I've got my, you know, my garb out, you know, the hat, the gloves, everything you need. And unfortunately, one of my showings was declined, and it was one of the big showings. And I want to give the following advice. Do not listen to the media. Do not listen to your friends or family who are not feet on the street, boots on the ground in your local market. Do not listen to the hype on the news, because fortunately for our area and our metropolitan area, real estate is still booming. And if your house is in moderate to great condition and moderate to great price, it's still flying off the shelf. And this poor young lady, she's a first-time homebuyer. Her dad's in another state. And he was just, you know, fighting me tooth and nail about the approval, fighting me tooth and nail about how he was going to go finance, non-finance, pay cash, don't pay cash. And unfortunately, I had to deliver the news last night that the one and only house, which was already 15 minutes outside of the circumference she had given me, or the radius she had given me, was under contract over the holiday. Mm. And we could not see it this morning. And it was in one of those, you know, 2-2, and it was under 200,000. I have prepared them, you know, have your money ready, have that loan approval ready, have the proof of funds ready. It needs to accompany the showing. You need to have that in advance. And it was just, unfortunately, I hooked them up with a great lender. He walked them through the steps, and it was like slowly pulling teeth, getting paperwork together. And unfortunately, I had to send her the email last night, like it went under contract, and they started negotiations on Monday. And this agent took yesterday off, and by last night, she was getting around to canceling all the showings that were lined up for today.
Yeah.
So I just want the public to be aware that in our local economy, that if the house is priced right and in great condition, which is move-in, turnkey ready, they're selling. Yeah. I mean, they're not, and this had been on the market 23 days. And even she had put in the initial email, hey, we need to get in to see this quickly. Well, her version of quickly was today at 10 o'clock. And this was on Monday. And I was like, we might want to get in a little sooner than that. And by the time I text the agent, is it contingent? Nope. Is it, you know, is there anything? Nope. It was a cash deal closing in 2 weeks, boom, 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 yeah. Had everything lined up like applesauce. And I hate delivering that kind of news, but I also in the same email said, so here's the thing. We need to be really aggressive on this paperwork. We need to make sure we have that proof of funds. We need to make sure that letter of approval is in the documents. And, you know, with the new NAR settlement, we're having to send out all these documents before we show you that first house. And I hate that. I really do, because I want to deliver good news. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It takes me back to 3 months ago when I first spoke to her father and I said, get these documents together. I cannot preach that enough.
Yeah.
So.
Well, she's going to have to find something else. And maybe that could be a blessing in disguise. Maybe, you know, one door closes, another one opens. You know, it's weird because the last time I bought a home was 18, 19, 20 years ago. And back then you looked at 7-8 different places and they weren't flying off the shelf. And sometimes you could be compete with somebody. You never paid full price. And obviously that's changed quite a bit over the last 10 years, 15 years, whatever you could probably tell me more about that. But and so now it's like, you know, if you really like a place, I mean, you need to get on it like right now. And I don't like it that way. A lot of people don't like it that way because it feels like there's a lot of pressure. And obviously this is whether this is your forever home or whether you're just living here for, you know, a year or two, whatever, while working a job or something like that, you want to be comfortable and you want to have a home. And so it kind of feels like, and then you've got people bidding. So if someone would say, listen, I want to buy this house for asking price, and it goes under contract, then it's done, right? I mean, like if I came in and said, listen, I'll give you $100,000 more than what they're just offered you and it's under contract, can the buyer come back out and say, wait a minute, I'm going to take this guy's thing?
Well, what you can't really do that if it's signed, sealed, delivered, but you have contingencies. That's why my first question is, are there any contingencies? Like, is it contingent upon financing? No, it's a cash deal, then that door's closed. Is it contingent upon appraisal? No, then that door's closed. Is it contingent upon something like inspection? Well, yes. Okay. Well, that door's open. Then maybe you make it contingent upon no inspection.
So if there is just one contingent and someone says, yep, I want this house and everything's been approved, everything's done, but there's one contingent, I could sweep in and say, listen, I want this house and I'm willing to give you $50,000 more for it. And I could swoop in and then that person would have to come back and make another offer.
Most contracts and everything's negotiable. Let's just say that up front. But if you've got a contract, you can either do what they call a backup contract. But no, the seller should not. Integrity comes into play here.
Sure.
No, the seller should back out of that first one just because they're getting more money.
Gotcha.
Because with each thing, the terms and conditions change. Also, like
we saw that a lot. Now, did we not see that a lot? And this is why I love you, your integrity. But did we not see that a lot in the last 3 or 4 years where someone had a contract on a home and then someone came in and offered him cash and the seller was like, well, I'm just going to take the cash?
Not in my world, we didn't, because what I would always tell people is highest and best, you need to be prepared. But let me put an analogy that even I know your viewers can understand. Mm-hmm. Do you think Nick Saban goes to any football game and he says, let's just go in here and see if we're going to win?
Yeah.
Let's just go in here and test the market. Mm-hmm. Do you think he ever has one time showed up to any game, no matter who he was playing,
yep,
and said, oh, guys, let's not do any research this week. Let's just go in there and wing it. And let's just test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Yep.
What he probably did is he probably watched tape on those guys. He probably learned their plays. He probably understood what the real game that day was about. I mean, he might not, like Miss Terry said, he might now just have learned how to do multiple words in text. Mm-hmm. But I bet since day one of his coaching career, he has evolved with the football that program that he was doing, whether it was the NFL or the SEC. I'm betting he didn't just say, man, I hate that this game has turned out like this, but boys, we're just going to do it the same-o, and we're, yep, going to make an offer and we're just going to see how it works out. I'm thinking he didn't do that. I could be wrong.
No, you're right.
I met Mr. Saban, and he's pretty fit about where he is in how he plays. So when you've got someone that is the expert or someone who is guiding you, listen to them. If you don't like them, change, switch. That is your legal right and guide. However, don't get mad at them for the advice that you're not taking and the advice that you're not listening to, and you're not doing what we're asking you to do. And because believe you me, the pendulum will swing back in the opposite direction. Just give it time. It, yep, always has, and it always will. Now, a few things play in factor to that. Like I said, if you want to go in and you want this house, then why are you nitpicking?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing that to your own self? Why are you putting your own self through this emotional roller coaster of, oh, well, I might or might not get it? If you really don't care that much, then why, yeah, are you even shopping for a home?
Yeah.
What is your real reason for wanting this particular house? Is it the truth, this forever, all your house? And why would you gamble with your forever house. You want this specific neighborhood. I know you want this neighborhood because you have gone back over and over. And at the point, you know, when you start to stalk people and now they're just putting houses up for sale because they're like, that guy's in here again. Mm-hmm. Let's just sell. Okay. Then two things happen. You want to buy, they want to sell. Now we don't know their conditions and everything's a gamble in life. However, you want to get the best deal. They want to get out of a deal. So why not make it win-win for everybody? I'm not saying insult them by making a lowball offer. Don't give away the farm either. If there's other sellers not offering concessions, then why would you expect this seller to offer concessions? And there's so much more information readily, freely available today to the public. They already know what you paid for it.
Yeah.
They already know that you got an extra lot for free. Mm-hmm. They already know the game. So don't try to run game on people because that insults them and makes them angry. And if by some chance you did find out that little snippet and you want to keep it to yourself, that's your business. But also with this issue of integrity, I've never seen it work out to where I've never seen it work out in the end where someone's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take this cash deal over this and we're just going to wiggle out of this contract. Yes, there's a legal way to get out of it. And if you do that, that is your, if you have this legal right, like it don't come in on appraisal. You don't necessarily have to lower the price.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that $50,000 more offer where the appraisal's waived. And we saw people do that the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They're not doing that much anymore, you know? So just take in consideration that pendulum's going to go both ways and you're going to be on the opposite end of that one day. And just do the golden rule. You know, like, think about it.
Very good. Teresa Autry, Expert Realty, 294-4210. This is called Home Field Advantage. You mentioned misrepresentations when we first started talking. What do you mean?
Well, what we don't want to do is, and I've literally seen people want to do this, and they always say, oh, I don't have a real estate license, so I'm not held to those same rules. And I get that. But they maybe either think, hey, this guy's got two lots. He don't know that you can split them and build another house on it. Bet he does. Yeah. Bet he's on that property 40 years. Bet he probably does. But you don't need to go in with that mentality like of thinking or presuming what they do or don't know. I bet he's probably consulted two or three agents who said, hey, you've got two lots here. Do you want to sell the secondary lot as an empty buildable lot or do you want to sell it as the house?
Does that happen a lot?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And you got to think about like where you are, for instance, when we were talking about the utilities, what's on that lot? Is it half of that lot filled with utility easements or alleyway easements? Or is half of that lot already cut off from city and state right-of-ways? I mean, what is that real lot worth versus buildable and non-buildable? Do you see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a reason why it hasn't been built on already.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing because I know I see a lot of cars for sale by owner, and I still see houses for sale. And unless you're willing to put hours and hours into, and maybe you've been a former real estate agent or something, maybe that's your deal. It just seems like it's just a hassle. Like it's something I would not. I'd much rather go with someone like you that I trust. And that's the other thing too is, I sold my last house from a friend, his wife, and she knew my situation, and I felt comfortable with that. Didn't understand everything that happened with the sale. She was relatively new in the business. But you should have a relationship with your real estate person. I mean, you're going to move seven or eight times in your life. You should know somebody that knows what they're doing. And as you know, there's a lot of people like you should know your tax person pretty well. You should know your insurance person pretty well. I know my State Farm guy really well. I mean, there's some people in your life that you should get cards from and you should send them cards because you're going to need them one day. And that's a good thing to have, right?
I feel like it's all about relationships. And, you know, we can't guide you and say, oh, only use this person. But if you came to me and said, hey, Teresa, like, for instance, this first time homebuyer is a referral from another agent. who has worked with her father many, many times over, and they are not in my area, so they refer them to me. So now I am basically, he's put his book of business in my hands and trusted me to guide them through this process. It only takes one bad deal to ruin a relationship for life.
Yeah.
So what I mean, and like in your situation, and I'm not going to disclose anything you hadn't disclosed, but it was a divorce deal, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to handle those with baby gloves.
Yeah.
And I call them kitty gloves because, number one, I don't know nobody but God himself, in my opinion, knows what goes on behind all the doors in a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, especially one that spanned the length of the time that your marriage did. So therefore, there's all kind of stuff. I mean, I literally have had one lady, and I was ordered by the judge to go into the house, and literally she is screaming at me, "Well, you don't know, he's got a porn addiction." Lady, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm here to sell your house. I'm not here to take sides. Mm-hmm. And I've literally had to put them in the corners like a boxing match between Holyfield and Tyson, you know, just like, get in your corners. Don't come out until I tell you to, and stuff like that. And you're going like, oh my gosh. And then other ones you hear like, well, man, if my husband or my wife griped at me as much as you gripe, I'd be getting a divorce too. But you can't say stuff like that. You have to be, like I said, Switzerland, I'm neutral. And then the other thing is like you get some hard things like job losses or health issues or deaths. And those are really sad situations. And you don't want these people to be taken advantage of. But at the same notion, they have to be realistic. It's like, you may think you got pie in the sky, but buddy, no, you got Mississippi mud. You ain't got that chocolate cream pie in the sky. And it's just one of those things, as long as people communicate open and honestly and have that transparency in that relationship. Now, I am not a big fan of, oh, just trust me. I need to show you everything, and you need to understand everything to the best of your ability. And I always tell people, I won't. You to double check my numbers. I will literally have someone else, hey, look at this, make sure, you know, because I've accidentally tallied the taxes wrong, because on new construction, they're way higher than homestead.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And so, and like when you're a certain age, you're homestead exempt, I mean, a tax exempt. And if you make less than a certain amount of money, now your standard person does make less than that amount, but there again, I have to say, consult a tax professional or consult your, you know, person here, person there. And you want this insurance person, you want this tax accountant person that you can make a call to, and they're not going to bill you out at $500 an hour.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go. Wanted to ask you,
don't do the following. Don't constantly call these people and never give them an ounce of business. That's really not fair to them.
Yeah.
And I do have a couple of clients that are, I call them El Cheapos, and they're going to call every special person in the business and plague them with hours and hours of just drain your energy. And they're never going to give you an ounce of business. They never, ever will.
Yeah.
They never will. Because they're looking for the next free ride, and you just have to pluck those out and decide, are you going to donate your time because that's what you're doing, or are you going to eat the time because that's what you're doing?
Yeah. I've had several friends of mine buy foreclosures. How does that work? And then I want to ask you about a piece of property that just went on sale here in the Birmingham area that everyone knows about that I want to get your thoughts on. But I got a friend of mine, he bought a $600,000 house for $125,000. I was like, okay, that's amazing. It's, I hear the stories. I'm like, wow. Now this was years ago, but how does that work?
Well, I've done those, and I've helped people do that. I had one of my very first clients who worked for Sell by Owners, by the way. They listed with me, got top dollar for their drive at home. By the way, back then, it was really hard to sell drive. It was at Brook Island. Got top dollar, and they had to go into a rental, and I told them, keep your money ready. Keep it ready, because when I call you, they gave me very specific grounds. They were multimillionaires, very specific what they wanted. And it was kind of like that unicorn that you're talking about. Well, I found a foreclosure, and this was before the foreclosure boom, and it was $1.2 million That was the foreclosure amount was $985,000. Mm-hmm. The $1.2 million was the asking price. And it was a former drug dealer's house. And drug dealers got some nice houses. I mean, I'm just saying, whenever I find me a drug dealer's house, bing, 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 I've won the lottery, baby.
Yeah.
Because he got all these different bells and whistles. He had three kitchens and, you know, four car garage. And I mean, it was immaculate. But yeah, so he was going to prison for 20 years and his wife couldn't afford the house. So it went in foreclosure. And the REMAX agent, I was with REMAX at the time, called me up and said, "Hey, I've got this house." Well, I knew the immediate client. I said, "Do you have your money?" "Yes, we've been holding our money, you know." And we literally closed in 26 days and they walked in with about 900 grand in equity because you got to have the money.
Yeah.
Can't a lot of times they want that 10%. So say if they're asking 125,000, they want 12.5 that day. If you're at the courthouse steps, they want the rest within 7 days. Do you have that kind of money? Because the people that can do it are doing it, and the people that can't do it, they are not waiting for you to get a loan. Yep. They're not waiting for you to do an inspection. They're not waiting for an appraisal. They're the bank. They don't have to. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you can find those deals, have your money ready and go in with a reasonably intelligent market offer. And I'll be honest with you, it's been, you know, a minute and these people have now sold that house, made a really nice profit. But it was in a very, very prestigious community in Birmingham. And there was only 35 homes in that whole community anyway.
Oh, okay.
So nothing stayed on the market very long at all.
There you go.
And it was one of the communities that Richard Scrooge, before he went to, you know, away on vacation.
He found Jesus.
And so it was very beautiful. And when we got in there, they had to do about $180,000 worth of work because he had also done some insurance fraud where he flooded the floors. And there were these immaculate bamboo hardwoods. So there was a lot of work that had to be done before they could technically move in. Does that make sense?
It does.
So they still had to stay in their rental another 2 months while they got the floors fixed and got a few other minor things fixed. Because when a house that big sets long, sets empty long, it obviously develops issues.
Yeah.
So they had to do about almost 200 grand worth of work. And they lived there for about 18 years when their daughters graduated. And, when their daughters graduated, they were then able to move out of their deal was the sewer system, Jefferson County. And now they own a huge farm in Leeds.
There you go. You don't represent Ed's Pet World, do you?
Not today.
Okay. See, I I'm going to ask you some questions about it because Seth is a good friend of mine. They are clients on my radio station. They also have Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in Homewood. And the pet business is just really hard because there's all these big box stores that obviously do things. They do exotic pets. Anyway, he put his...
And are you meaning Ed the son?
Yeah, Seth is Ed's son, yeah.
Okay, okay.
So, and he's the owner. So Seth has put the building on for sale for $2.2 million. The business business is still open, but he's not buying any new animals. So if you want a great deal, go down to Ed's Pet World right now, and they'll cut you a great deal because they're cleaning house. When you buy a building like that and $2.2 million. And again, he's like, "I'm throwing it out there to see what it goes. It's not necessarily going to go for $2.2 million. And it's previously a business. Unless you were going to keep it a pet store, what would you want with a place like that? And you know where Ed's Pet World is. I don't know what land is worth, in that part of Homewood. It's right down from Vulcan. Sounds a little high to me because it's been there for 50 years. I don't know what kind of structural work it needs. It's got an upstairs area, I guess a little loft that you can live in, but can you give me some details on that? Just a little bit. And what is he just throwing out there to find out if someone wants to buy Ed's Pet World?
Well, I can also tell you he had a previous location in Calera.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the same thing with it. And it had kind of got into a little bit of dilapidation. But through the Main Street City of Calera project, they were able to buy it, renovate it, turn it into a beautiful type courtyard situation. It's really a nice place now.
Yeah.
But at the same notion, it was never to be used for what they originally had it opened for.
Mm-hmm.
So would have to check a few things, just just, I mean, just to even be able to have an intelligent conversation would be, what is the city of Homewood's current zoning and planning, and what is proposed to go there, and how agreeable is the city of Homewood and Jefferson County for that?
Yeah, very good.
Under any register, is it protected by any historical sites? Is it protected, which means it would have to be restored to the original shape? That's a whole different bowl of wax. Yeah. And then what are you going to do with it? You know, like right now, Soho down there, the condos and that whole little food court area and the whole little area just blew up. It seems like overnight, but mm-hmm. It really was in planning for several years.
It sure was.
And some of those condos were going for over $1 million just when they were first hitting the market because of the centralized location. So again, you know, you've got that, is it Nellyport Oriental Rug right there? Yep, it's been there forever. And, you know, is it a local business? You know, is it somebody that could tap into the new market? Will there be another exotic pet store there? You know, will Homewood even allow that? I don't know the answer to that. That's something that you would have to go before zoning and planning and ask. But say that they said you would definitely have to get it up to code. Now, it may be up to code, which means all the electrical, all the plumbing, all the HVAC, all is currently up to date. I thought personally it would be great, and this is just my opinion, it would have been great for some sort of a hotel with a nice restaurant on top.
Mm-hmm.
Because the view is spectacular right there, and you could stay overnight. I wouldn't do an Airbnb right there. I would do an actual hotel with concierge and, you know, like a 5-star type thing and a 5-star restaurant. Do something like the Veranda or Bottegas on top where you could get that in the city of Homewood and not have to go to downtown.
It's a cool little building, man. It really is. I mean, it's a cool little building.
It's classic and it's eccentric. And I love it, to be honest with you. I love things. And I'm kind of like, I know this is going to sound ironic, but I take the Donald Trump view on this. And I hope people aren't going to bash me because that's a different view. But you've got to remember, real estate developer first before president. Mm-hmm. And what I liked is that some buildings, they're such a staple in the community that it's almost like it makes the community thrive more when you can recycle and refresh and renovate and remodel and give it a whole new landscape that nobody maybe thought about. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? The Absolutely. Other thing that I thought would be fabulous is almost like what they're doing in Homewood would be like a senior community with where they would have maybe a couple of doctors, a nail salon, a hair salon, a restaurant, a clothing store, you know, where you've got several different amenities in one unit, like Lane Park over in Mountain Brook. But at the same notion, you have the ability to interface and interchange the faces.
Yeah, I do think it's important that I don't know if Homewood's going to do something, but I do think it's important what goes in there next. I really do. Just for because it was one of the first things you see when you're driving into Homewood.
It's going to be very important. Yeah. The city is going to want something there that's going to be an attention grabber, a money maker. And, you know, I have nothing wrong with antebellum and old fashioned and remodel and historic stuff. I just think if you're going to do something there, you need to make it something fabulous.
I agree with you. Teresa, speaking of fabulous, tell people how they can find you.
Oh, you guys, I'm all over the spot. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and right here on Tony Curry's show and Home Field Advantage, HFA. I can remember that. I'm not sure why other people can't, but I love that. And you can also reach out to me, 205-294-4210. And you can reach me at teresa.expertrealty@gmail.com. And we're here for all your needs.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.